real quick and try to keep you in 2.5 hours. No, I'm not that long. I don't have a lot to say. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 2 is what we're going to read. 1 Samuel chapter 11. It said, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, 'Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee.' And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, 'On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon Israel.'" Pastor, would you pray? If you help me preach, you can have a seat. Amen. The title of my message today is When the Enemy Comes. When the Enemy Comes. This is a story shortly after Saul was anointed to be king. He took a little band of merry men and went up to where he lived and came word to Saul that Nahash had made this threat against his friends. So he got a little riled up about it. And he took a yoke of oxen and he cut them in pieces and sent them to everybody that he knew all across Israel and said, "If you don't come with me to take care of this, your oxen is going to end up the same way." That's what he said. So, of course, people got a little excited about it. They showed up in full force. Story goes, they took care of that situation. It's not what I want to focus on tonight. I want to focus on what Nahash said. He said, "I want to take your right eye and I want to thrust it out, because I want it to be a reproach against Israel itself. I want to make a statement. I want to say, you belong to me now. Everything that you have is mine. You'll come at my beck and call. You'll do whatever I tell you to do, and you won't question." That was Nahash's purpose for that. He said, "Sure, I'll make peace with you, but there's a condition. I want everybody to know that I'm better than you." Amen. How many times when the enemy comes to us, does he do the same thing? Does he say the same kind of stuff? "Sure, I'll give you relief for just a moment from your torment if you'll give something up." See, the devil doesn't come in, grab everything you have, and take off with it. It's little by little. You think this little compromise is not that big of a deal because, you know, obviously the devil, It's just to appease something in my flesh. It makes it a little bit easier to live for God, to come to church. If I just give up this little thing here or there, no, sir, that's not the way it works. The devil knows if he can get a foothold in your life somewhere, he can get deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen. So what did Israel see when Nahash did this? Well, they definitely saw the might of the Amorite army. They saw that for sure. That was something that was they thought they could never get past that. Amen. They obviously felt a lot of fear about it because they were quick to say, "Okay, well, give us a week's time. We're going to see what we can get together. But if it doesn't work out, we'll do it. We'll do it. Whatever you want, we'll do it. Just give us a week's time to figure it out." And no doubt they had hopelessness in their hearts about their situation. Oftentimes when the devil comes to you and starts speaking to your heart, you feel a little hopeless about things. You start to get a little depressed about stuff, and he works on your mind and works on your heart to the point where you just start giving in to it. It just becomes habit to listen to him instead of the word of God. It becomes habit to listen to the one who brings death and destruction and not the one who brings life. That's a habit we all have as humanity. That's our flesh. It's easy, right? So they took a risk, invested in the new king that they had somewhat kind of maybe got behind. They weren't quite behind this guy yet, but they took a chance. And Saul delivered and restored faith in that kingdom. But what the enemy loves to do is threaten us. One thing he likes to do in the church is convince you that you're useless. Your life is pointless in the church. You come, you fill a pew, you don't do anything for God. You're just here to pay tithes and enjoy the service. Oh, hey, he works on all of us. He works on me all the time. The thing is, everybody here is special, and you're here for a reason. There's nobody greater than anybody else. Absolutely not. He's okay with giving us a little bit of peace or torment if you give something in return. But the more he takes, the more you give to him, the more and more he consumes your entire life. See, the devil's he's a deal maker. That's what he is. He said, hey, Jesus, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. To which Jesus replied, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, this is how it works. The devil tries to convince you that he has all the cards, that he has everything to give, when he has nothing to give. The devil is the master deceiver in your life. He's the master liar. Everything he says is a lie. So if he said it, disregard it because it doesn't matter. He has nothing to give you except pain and heartache. Amen? I want to put a little disclaimer in here. I'm not a fire-breathing, spitting preacher. But I do feel like God wants to talk to somebody tonight. And with your help, with your support, God's going to get through to somebody tonight. God wants to say, God wants to encourage somebody tonight. There's a problem you're facing, but I'm telling you, God wants to do something for you. Amen? God wants to change your situation. So we fight against this identity crisis today in the United States and all over the world. I want to hit on that, especially for our youth, because there's a generation where everything is accepted. Nothing is fought against except morality and conservative values. Absolutely nothing else is fought against. If you want to disagree with your biology and go change it, more power to you. That's the way the world sees you. But I'm going to tell you, there's a ploy with the devil that wants to change everything there is about you, because if he can get you to never see what God intended you to become, he's got you. You'll never believe truth. You'll never have it. He wants to change the very makeup of who you are. But I'll tell you something. You can't change DNA. God made you the way you are for a reason. Don't get sucked in this identity nonsense. You are who you are. You are who you are in God. You are who God says you are. Amen? But there's an identity crisis. You see that all the time in the news. They call people who change their themselves into a female from a male. They are courageous and brave, and we ought to give them a medal for it. Do you think I care what the world says about me? Do you think I need to meet the fashion of the world to be accepted as a witness? Do you think the world is looking at me going, hey, if you'll just change this appearance, I'll go to church with you? That's not what the world's wanting. The world wants stability. The world wants something they can always come back to that never changes. And if you're following the word of God, you never change. Amen? You never change. That's what they want to see. Believe it or not, a lot of people love this holiness message. And my wife, she comes from a movement that's holiness, Pentecostal, but they're Trinitarians. And one thing about them is they come to this wall in their worship, in their praise, and we all know it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. They preach all the same things we preach against, same standards we have. They hold to the same values we hold to, and they have no problem filling their churches. It's not the standards that pushes people away. It's the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and it's the fellowship in his suffering. And it's knowing that once you have this revelation, it's heavy. You have to do something about it. You got to change some things in your life. You have to reach a lost world with it. Because once you have it, you have a power that the world wants. The devil wants to destroy that power, but now you have it. Amen, amen, amen. But, you know, there's an attack on the family unit. There's an attack on parenthood. There's an attack on fatherhood. We don't talk about that a lot, but there's a definite attack on fathers, men in general. We are being told by society not to be men anymore. We leave that to the women now. It's a compromise. It's this, you know, and I'm all for equality. I'm all for doing things and treating people with respect. But when you do it according to God, there's a system and it works every time. God makes you happy. God gives you joy. God gives you peace. And there's nothing that can deny that in you. Amen? So don't get sucked into that. He wants to attack our ladies. He wants to tell you if you just trim your hair a little bit, it's not a big deal. I mean, you can still put it up. No one's going to know. You know, boys, you can still go hang out with those friends that, you know what, you know, they're doing their drugs and doing things. You don't have to do it, but it's all about being a witness. That's how the devil convinces you that that's the way you should go. Once you compromise, I have a really close friend of mine. He's my family member. Driving in his car several years ago, and he said, you know, Seth, my family's backslid. I feel like I need to move where they are, and I can be a witness to them. I told him, I said, you know, you're not going to be the witness you think you're going to be by separating yourself from the church and going and trying to start your own church with backslidden family members. And so he went ahead and did what he felt he needed to do. And to this day, he doesn't know what he believes. Because the moment you reject this truth and you say, I can use this where I want to use it, you've opened a door for the devil to convince you of all different kinds of things. Because this word's not up for private interpretation. You got to bounce it off your fellow saint. You got to bounce it off your pastor. You got to learn some things. You don't know it all. You don't read the Bible and say, I have it. There's the process. That's why we assemble ourselves together. Some people don't do that anymore. Some people, you know, assemble themselves together for coffee. Don't call it church anymore. And they prefer that. But I need church. I need you. You need me. We are a family. I can't make it without your prayer. I can't make it without your support. This church matters. You being here on this pew matters. Don't let the devil deceive you and think you can make it without the church. You can't. That's not the only thing he wants to attack in general. He wants to attack our youth, our children. In Oklahoma, they're wanting to set up the Ten Commandments next to the state capitol. Somebody ran them over recently. Said liberty and ran them over, and the world's going to pot. In case y'all haven't noticed, it's terrible. It's terrible out there. But the Satanist movement of the area said that's not fair. We want to put up a statue too, because equality in religion. We want to put up a statue too. And I'm going to tell you the most disturbing thing that the world does is embrace the devil and what he sells. And it's so obvious. The statue, it shows a goat figure, and he's got his books of enlightenment. And in one arm, he has a child. It's not the adults that he's really after. It's after these folks on the front row, right here. That's what he wants. Because if he can convince them that he's got the next generation, then he's killed the church, then he's taken out the light. That's the purpose. But the world loves it. They say, here's our children. Take our children. That's why, you know, as a new father, it's so increasingly important to me to instill that in my child. To instill truth in my child. You know, I took it for granted when I was a child. But now that I'm older, I just can't help bear, I can't help bear the thought if my child grew up and didn't know truth, didn't know what was right, had no clue what God was about. And I'm telling you, it's on our shoulders, folks. It's on our shoulders, amen? The devil's after our kids. He's after us, amen? He wants to make some deals with you. He's been talking to you lately. He wants to tell you, hey, if you can do this and you make some more money. Or, hey, you'll have more friends if you do it this way. Whatever your motivation is, he's told you. He's worked on you. And then when you come to church and sit, I don't know what I'm saying. You come to church and you sit down and then you're hit with such strong depression and you think you have no friends in the church and you feel like nothing's going well for you. That's the devil. That's not you. That's the devil. You have to step out of that. You got to get out of your pew. You got to make an effort, and you have to get a hold of God. You have to change your situation. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to point something out in this scripture. He's seeking whom he may devour, but all he's got is a roar. He's walking around making a bunch of noise in your life, trying to convince you that he's strong, that he's powerful. You just better give it in. Get rid of it now. You better get rid of your commitment to God, because I'm going to get you anyway. That's how he is. All he does is talk. That's all he does. Where God follows through. God's strong. God's mighty. God's powerful. There is absolutely nothing the devil can do to compete with that. Distraction is one of the biggest things we struggle with now in the church. Cell phones, calls coming in. You know, it amazes me that people will put somebody else in front of their salvation. I've seen it. I grew up a pastor's kid. I've seen a lot of different situations. And it always was amazing to me. I'm over here in my bedroom. You know, I was like, why? You know, I was a kid. I was like, why can't they just figure it out? Because, you know, kids are so innocent. They just look at it. They look at it for what it is. And we as adults, we analyze everything. But that's why Jesus said, you got to come to me as a child. You got to stop thinking about all this so much and just believe it. Just accept it and believe it. And then I can do wondrous things in your life. Amen. But I just, you know, it just amazes me that someone will get a phone call in church. Oh, I got to get this. I got to go now. I got to go now. They're so worried about everything else going on outside this church. They're not worried about their own personal salvation. They think they're secure. They think they're okay. They're in church. They're on the pew. They're good. They've gotten the Holy Ghost. They've been baptized. They're set. They're on their way to heaven. I'm sorry, folks. There's a lot more to it than that. You have to be committed to him. You have to stop letting the things of this world walk inside with you. When you walk into this sanctuary, that's what it is. It's a sanctuary from this world. We have the opportunity to commune with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords exclusively. And why we don't do it more often, it just boggles my mind. We let the cares of this life affect us so much that we forget who's standing right there guiding us through all of it. We don't do anything by ourselves. We're not good within ourselves. God makes us that way. Amen. We all know the story of David and Goliath. I love to use Goliath as the roaring lion in this story. He just talked real loud, talked real big, scared all the Israelites so much they went and hid behind the rocks. And they, you know, nobody would come out because this guy's huge. I mean, I mess with this guy, you know. And here's little old David, innocent, sees it like it is. And he says, why aren't y'all doing something about this? Why is he still talking? They said, shut up, David. You don't know what you're talking about. He didn't understand why they were allowing somebody to mock God, to mock the children of God like they were. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, if some of you would stand up and say, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the devil mocking me, yelling at me, laughing at my situation, throwing things at me. I got to do something about it. So here's David. He said, you know, y'all can sit there behind the rocks, but I got to go do something about this. He's annoying me. I got to do something about it. So we all know the story. We know how Goliath died, but I want to point out something. Goliath didn't fall back. He fell forward. He fell face forward, right on his face. What does that indicate to me? God shut him up permanently. Shut him up. I'm telling you, when God takes control of your situation, listen to me, God takes control of your situation, that's the first thing he does is silence the devil. He shuts his mouth. He can't talk anymore. He can't mess with you anymore. He shuts it down. Amen. But it just amazes me. We get back to this where, you know, People just let him work on them and work on them and work on them to the point where they don't even want to come to church. They you know, and I understand they start feeling worthless and useless. They feel, God won't love me, you know. And I get all of that. I've been there. But it amazes me how they'll sit in the church, hear the word of God, and reject it. Because they have the preacher in one ear and they got the devil in the other. But they've learned to tune into one over the other. Sometimes you have to stop, focus, and allow God to work in your life. God can't just, yeah, I'm saying he can do anything, but he's not going to push himself on you. That's not the way it works. He wants to touch your life. He wants you to come to an altar of repentance. He wants to change your situation. But here it is. You start feeling the pull to come to the altar. You feel the convicting power of God. And you're like, man, I do need to change. Man, I want to be touched. And then you look around, and instantly it's there. So-and-so will see. So-and-so, I don't want them to know that I am vulnerable. I don't want them to know that, I don't want them to think I sinned. I don't want them, I don't want to go down there and get prayed for because I don't want people to think there's something wrong with me. That hits all of us. And I see it so much in church when someone will come and pray and everybody just kind of stands there and we'll pray for them from a distance. We don't want to go up there. But in reality, we're a body. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one is experiencing joy, we experience the joy. We are a family together. Amen? We're together on that. So the devil is a deal maker. That's what he wants to do in your life. My next point here is David knew what he was fighting for. He was fighting because he was mocking God. That made him mad. He was fighting for the Lord. He was fighting for the Lord's honor, for the Lord's dignity. He said, don't you dare talk about my God like that. But I guess the children of Israel forgot what they were fighting for. They had no. They thought, well, this is not worth it. This is definitely not worth it for us to get in this situation. And then they got mad at David when he said, well, let's take care of the problem. They said, you're naughty. You don't know what you're talking about. You're doing it for vain reasons. And they tried to send him home. How many times do you let the devil say the exact same things in your life? When God wants you to go up and pray for somebody or wants to use you in altar working or witnessing or outreach, whatever it is, he says, no, you're doing it for the wrong reason. No, you don't have that ability. You let someone else do it. No, you're too busy, remember? You're too busy to work for God. That always bothers me when someone says, I'll be there and doesn't show up. When we have something we need to do in this community, yet nobody wants to actually do it. And I'm being real with you because we all fight it. I fight it all the time. It's our flesh. It's our flesh telling us somebody else will pick up the mantle and do it. Somebody else will pick up that burden and take it's just not me. It's not meant for me. Well, I don't know if you got the email or not, but it is meant for you. Preaching the gospel is not something that's called to just specific individuals. He called everybody to go out and say something about this. You have a responsibility to preach wherever you are. You have a responsibility to tell people about this message. God saved you. I mean, I got so excited when I got the Holy Ghost, everybody knew about it. And I mean, my parents were so excited because for about 2 days, I didn't get a spanking. I was like the angel child. And they were so happy, and they knew when it wore off too because, man, I was a terror. But the truth is, I was so excited about the things of God. We had a missionary come through. He's a missionary to Africa. And I just, something had changed in my heart. And I got a certain amount of money for my birthday. And I was so excited. You know, and every year I got this money. And I just, something in me said, you need to give this money to the missionary. Here I was, 7 years old. And I remember this because I walked up to the missionary and I handed him this bill. And I said, I felt like God wanted me to give this to you. You know, and he said, no, take this back. You know, he said, take this back because he's thinking he's just a child. He doesn't understand the concept. But God was working something within me at a young age, learning that faithfulness is important, that giving to the church is important, that this kingdom means more to me than setting up my own here. We're only here for a short time, people. We're here to get more and more folks sitting next to you on a pew. That's what we're here to do. I don't want to go to heaven alone. I don't want to have to walk the streets alone, the streets of gold alone. I want to take people with me. Heaven's not heaven without y'all. It's not. I mean, heaven is great because Jesus is there. We get to see him, and I'm so excited. But I don't want to get to heaven and not see you either. That's just that. I couldn't even fathom that. Amen? But David knew what he was fighting for. The enemy wants to convince you that you have no hope. He will work on your mind. He'll work on your heart. He'll convince you church isn't worth it. Pretty soon you're backslid. Pretty soon you've given up everything. One thing the devil loves to do with our youth, with adults, everybody in general, is once you leave the church, he wants to change everything about you. He wants to convince you to change everything that you look like. He wants to cover you up. He wants to, I have a friend of mine. You probably wouldn't even recognize her now. She's been out of church for about 2 years, and you wouldn't recognize her. That's what the devil wants to do. Change everything about you so when you look in the mirror, you don't remember where you came from. Because the moment you remember where you came from is the moment you remember that hope. And you remember the feeling that God gave you when you were at an altar and he filled you with the Holy Ghost. You remember the times that you were laid out in the Spirit and God was working something deep in your life. You remember everything. So he tries to fix all that so you never see it. Because just like any time, if you tell yourself that you're going to do something, eventually you probably will. It's a subconscious thing. So if you want to come back, you can come back. The door's always open, right? Amen. But we have something to fight for. So, how can we do it? Acts 1 and 8 says, "But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's what the Bible says. So once you receive the Holy Ghost, and most of us have, you have a power with God. You have the ability to walk around and do things for God. You have no excuse to not do anything for God. At this point, God is living in you. You need to be living for him. That's the way this works. So now when you're walking in the community and people notice there's something different about you, good luck trying to fit in like you used to, because everybody's going to know something's different. And I'm telling you, when you have the joy of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter. You tell everybody you're different. That's the way that works. Amen. Hallelujah. So the same power that moved on Saul when he went down and took care of that Amorite problem, it's the same power that we have today. The sheer, raw anointing of the Almighty God is in each and every one of us that have received the Holy Ghost. So why, and this is my question, why are you allowing the devil to take stuff from you? Why are you allowing him to convince you that certain things don't matter? Why are you hiding behind the rocks of your insecurities? Why are you not allowing God to use you the way he desires to? You're not here because you got in your truck and just came here and decided it was all your deal. God divinely appointed it to happen. Every one of us, whether we are a seasoned saint, new convert, brand new, never been here before, you're here for a reason. God brought you here, and he wants to do something for you. Amen? That's the point. But we let all this stuff get to us. So, how can I have this power if I'm not saved? Well, it's really easy, actually. First, you got to admit it. I need it. You got to say, you know what? I got this problem and I can't get past it. Every time I feel like I make some headway, I fall back every single time. Well, I got the key for you if you want it. And this goes for seasoned saints as well. Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission." That's the cleansing away of your sins. But it doesn't stop at baptism. A lot of churches stop at baptism. A lot of churches say you don't need the Holy Ghost anymore. A lot of churches say, you know, that's not for you. But he said, you got it for the remission of sins. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. A gift is something that's free and it comes to you whether you want it or not. It's going to come. You're going to have the opportunity to have it. Now, you can reject it all day long and never have it. But if somebody told me, and I was in a church for a long time, and they told me that, hey, yeah, you've been baptized. That's all there is to it. I said, well, praise God, I'm saved. And if somebody came to me and said, well, hold on, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet? I say, well, what gift? What gift is that? You would feel like you missed something. You would feel like you missed something. And I'm telling you tonight, that gift is for everybody. Everybody you know, it's for your children, it's for them that are afar off, it's for every single person, and you can have it at any time you want. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of your next breath. You have no guarantee of whether you're going to walk out of here and something catastrophic happens to you. You have no guarantee. So my idea here is I'm going to give 110% as much as I can to God while I'm here, because I don't know what will happen afterwards. And I want to encourage the young people, get somebody, take them up front. When the worship service is going on, don't wait for someone to be the leader. You be the leader. Everybody wants someone else to lead, but they're not willing to lead. You got to step out by faith and say, I'm tired of the way this is going. I'm tired of the certain things happening in my youth. I'm tired of the depression. I'm tired of the devil talking to me. I'm stepping out whether they do or not, and I'm going to get something from God. Amen? You have to commit yourself. So if you're fearful that you'll be doing this alone, Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So first of all, I've given you the key to get this power to take care of the problems in your life. And I just let you know that you have somebody who not only holds everything in his hand, but he's going to walk with you, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to take you on this journey, and you're never going to have to do it alone. You have this power in you and walking right next to you. It's whether you want it or not. It's whether you want to change it or not. This is in your hands. You can't blame it on anybody else. This is up to you and God. A friend of mine, I'm going to leave you this story. I'm getting ready to close. The musicians want to come. Told you, 2.5 hours max. But I had a friend of mine. I gave her Bible studies, and she got truth like that. It just, her eyes lit up. And she just couldn't convince herself to make time to get baptized. So finally she showed up in between Sunday service one time. She said, I'm here to get baptized. We said, praise God. So we baptized her. We had a prayer meeting with her. And she was just amazed because the church she went to, you know, only one person prayed. And, you know, everybody was kind of silent about it. So she was kind of blown away. We all pray. Everybody talks to God. And so she was great. She was on her journey. She was on this journey. And she was making it. She loved God. Well, she moved away to college, and the same university I went to later. She moved away to college, and she's trying to get the Holy Ghost for so long. Finally, one night she got it, and I mean, it changed her life. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, that girl's backslid today. She could not accept that truth changes you. You never see anything the same. You never see your family the same, your friends the same. And her biggest thing was, you know, she didn't want to accept God without bringing her family with her. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to say what you believe is wrong. But I'm saying that this truth is something worth giving something up for. And if you're not willing to give up something on earth, you're not willing to go to heaven. It's as simple as that. I know that's kind of straight talk today, but you deserve nothing less than some straight talk. Heaven is our ultimate goal. Absolutely nothing on this planet matters. The only thing that matters is getting to heaven. So if I knew that I needed to do something to get there, I'm going to do my best to get there. Amen? I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure my ticket is in my hand and I'm going all the way. Nobody's taking my crown. Nobody's convincing me that it's not worth it for me to go. I know I need the power of God in my life. I know how to get the power of God. I want to get it tonight. How many of you tonight want to receive the power that God wants to give to you? How many want to make that first step? I don't care. I don't care what people say. Hey, Brother Murphy, I don't give a care what my family says. I don't care about what so-and-so across the pew says. I need this in my life. Amen. How many of you are willing to stand tonight, come down here, and receive the power God promised you? Some of y'all got the Holy Ghost and haven't got the power yet. You need the power in your life. You need to move in your situation. Amen? Let's all come tonight. Let's all come. If somebody wants the power, pray for them. Come on. If somebody wants to receive it, help them receive it. Amen? This is for everybody. Salvation's for everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Find somebody to buddy up with and pray for. We got to encourage each other in the Lord. We got to get something from God. Time's running out. We're living on borrowed time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to commit yourself. You got to commit yourself. You got to be willing to change your situation. Hallelujah. God's calling somebody tonight. God wants to move in somebody's life tonight. Will you let Him move in your life? Will you leave this house changed tonight? Will you let God change your situation, pull you out of that miry clay, set you up on the rock to stay? What will you do? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.